right. Well, good evening again. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're just looking at verse 18. We're going to just read the first portion of that to start. But we're looking at the mission of the Lord's ambassadors. We who were enemies of God in sin have been reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. So we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first part of verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you that we can have salvation through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came and laid down his life and took it up again, that we could be reconciled to you, that we could have eternal life. And Father, we thank you for all that you're doing on our behalf. Looking forward to what you have for us tonight. And I pray, Father, that through your word, we'd just be drawn closer to you, that our faith would increase, and that you'd be lifted up and glorified. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight. I pray that you'd give me the very words to preach tonight, Father, and we'll not give you, and we will give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All things are of God. All things are of God, it says here. He is the author of this change and all its blessings. God is the author of salvation. In fact, the Bible tells us that before the foundation of the world, right, God set this plan in place. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those inquiring minds. I think back and I think, God, as you looked out through all of time and you created man and you watched him fall, why didn't you just say, I'll just stick with animals? Right? I mean, I'll just create a bunch of animals. Don't you wonder why God... I mean, look at mankind. And we say, really? I mean, knowing in advance. I mean, there's some people, they say, you know, if I knew my kids would turn out this way, I'd not have had them. Right? So, do you wonder if God says, you know, I knew my kids were going to turn out this way, and I still let them be, right? I still let this happen. But I just wonder sometimes, why? Then I have to go back to his word where he says he loves us. He loves us. Do you know there's nothing you can do that changes that? Nothing. Say, well, he's going to love me no matter what? Yeah. You know, I understand it more being a dad, someone who had children. I understand it because, you know, no matter what my kids do, I'm still going to love them. They're my children. They're part of my flesh and blood. They're part of who I am. I'm still going to love them. Now, we can have that relationship, you know, stay the same, but the fellowship can be broken, right? It's one thing I've been concerned about in my Christian walk is having that fellowship broken. I don't want to ever be in a place. And I've been there. I'm going to be honest. I went through that time in my life where that fellowship was broken. And I know for a fact, and I know biblically speaking, that it wasn't God's fault our fellowship was broken. It was all on me. There's times when we blame God for stuff that God's people do. And just like sin is not God's fault, what God's people do is not God's fault either. God gives us free will. He gives us an opportunity to do what we want, when we want, and our relationship will stay intact, but our fellowship can be broken. But aren't you glad that He Himself is the author of the change and also all the blessings that come with that? I tell you, if man was in charge of it, man would have messed it up. Still, every time I think about men messing up a thing, I think of my father-in-law and how he says, man can mess up a steel ball bearing. And we could. We'd figure out a way. Then he goes on in this verse and he says, who hath reconciled us to himself. The word us here includes, doubtless, all who are Christians, right? He's reconciled us to him. It means you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. And it doesn't even matter what rank you might hold. Doesn't matter. They had all been brought into a state of reconciliation or agreement with God, right? We have to agree with God that we are sinners. We have to agree with God that we need a Savior. And we have to agree with God that Jesus came to die to be the Savior of the world. We have to agree with God. To be reconciled to God means we have to be in agreement with God on some things. You can't still be at enmity with God, right? You can't still be in your lost state and agree with everything God says. We're at enmity with Him. But now we're reconciled through Jesus Christ. Before, we were opposed to God. We had violated His laws. We were His enemies. But by the means of His plan of salvation, we can be reconciled. Thank God. And I have to tell you, I'm so glad that God made salvation free. It's my favorite price. I tell you, I go places and people say, do you want this? In fact, I had to go to one of the shops the other day because I'm having a problem with something I bought. And I took in a mailer that they sent me. And I forgot all about in the mailer. It says, if you come in and you bring this with you, we have a free gift for you. I forgot all about that because I went with the intent that I just wanted that to prove to them who I was, and my account number and all was on the mailer. So I take it in there and forgot all about the free gift part. I'm all about free. We know that, right? I like free. And he says, oh, before you leave, he says, you brought that mailer with you. We have a free gift for you. My favorite price. I took it home and I gave it to my wife. I said, here, they gave you a free gift. She said, what is it? I said, a free gift. I mean, doesn't everybody need more free stuff sitting around the house? But free. God gave us a free gift. That means anyone can afford a free gift, right? Didn't cost me anything. Well, unless you want to go back to the original purchase that I made, right? But this particular thing I got without having to buy anything while I was in the store. It's kind of nice. By the means of the plan of salvation, we have been brought into a state of agreement or harmony, and we're united in feeling and aim with God. There was a variance. There was an alienation. Man was alienated from God. man sinned, right? If you were here for the Sunday school hour this morning, you would have heard that Adam's fault, right? Everybody wants to blame Eve. Well, the male side wants to blame Eve, the female side wants to blame Adam, right? No, Adam's the one who willingly sinned against God. People say, but Eve partook of the... I get it. God told Adam that he could not partake of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. And what did Adam do? He listened to his wife. Knowing full well what God had told him, Adam sinned against God. Let me just throw out there, when we sin, it's against God. You might do something that's offensive to someone else, but that sin is against Almighty God. Man had no love for God. He was unwilling to be restrained. He sought his own pleasure. He was proud, vain, self-confident. He was not pleased with the character of God or with the claims of his plans. And in like manner, God was displeased with man. Right? Displeased with man's pride. One of the things that God says he hates, right? The sensuality, the rebellion, and the haughtiness of man. God was displeased with all those things. He was displeased that his law had been violated. And that man had cast off his government. Now reconciliation could take place only when these causes of alienation should be laid aside. And when God and man should be brought to harmony, when man should lay aside his love of sin and should be pardoned, and when therefore God could consistently treat him as a friend. We had to lay aside these things. We had to decide that we don't want those as much as we want that relationship with God. See, I tell people all the time, religion is not a relationship. You can have religion and be lost and go to hell. But you can't be on your way to hell if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as a child of God, can I do anything at all to change that? That relationship will never change. The fellowship might. If the fellowship changes, again, it's not because of God. It's because of us. We've chose to do that. The word reconcile is kataleso, and properly denotes to change, exchange, hence of persons, to change from enmity to friendship, to reconcile. With regard to the relationship between God and man, the use of this and connected words shows that primarily reconciliation is what God accomplishes, exercising his grace toward sinful man on the ground of the death of Christ in propitiatory sacrifice under the judgment due to sin. By reason of this, men in their sinful condition and alienation from God are invited to be reconciled to him, that is to say, to change their attitude and accept the provision God has made, whereby their sins can be remitted and they themselves be justified in his sight in Christ. That comes from vines. Then he goes on and says, by Jesus Christ. by the agency of Jesus Christ. He was the mediator to interpose in the work of reconciliation, and he was abundantly qualified for this work. You see, he's the only being that has ever lived here on this in this world that qualified for this. The only one. For, number one, he was endowed with a divine and human nature, the nature of both the parties at issue, God and man. Two, he was intimately acquainted with both the parties and knew what was needful to be done. He knew God the Father so well that he could say, look in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. Matthew 11, verse 27, where Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And he knew man so well that he could say of him in John chapter 2 and verse 25, he says, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. See, Jesus knows us better than we know us. Scary thought, isn't it? That he knows so much about us. No one can be a mediator who is not acquainted with the feelings, views, desires, claims, or prejudices of both the parties at issue. He was the friend of both parties. He loved God. No man ever doubted this or had any reason to call it in question. And he'd always was desirous of securing all that God claimed and of vindicating him, and he never abandoned anything that God had a right claim to. He loved man. He showed this all his life, right? He showed his love for man. In fact, what greater love could he show us than to come and lay down his life? You notice I keep saying he laid down his life. People keep saying, no, they murdered him. No, he laid down his life. Jesus could have prevented his own death had he wanted to. He came and laid down his life. He sought man's welfare in every way possible and gave himself for him. Yet no one is qualified to act the mediator's part who is not the common friend of both the parties at issue and who will not seek the welfare, the right, or the honor of both. Jesus was the perfect mediator between God the Father and mankind. No one else could have done it. No one. He was willing to suffer anything from either party in order to produce reconciliation. From the hand of God, he was willing to endure all that he deemed to be necessary in order to show his hatred of sin by his vicarious sufferings and to make an atonement. And from the hand of man, he was willing to endure all the reproach and abuse and scorn which could be possibly involved in the work of inducing man to be reconciled to God. He endured the fact that God the Father turned his back on him as he hung on that cross and became sin for you and I. Sin for the entire mankind, by the way. He endured that. As a child of God, we never have to deal with God turning his back on us. But Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, had to suffer that to reconcile God to man. hard to take, isn't it?
He also had to put up with man, the mocking, the scourging, the spitting,
the crown of thorns, the nails that they drove in to his hands and his feet. He had to put up with all of that so that man could be reconciled to God.
He has removed all the obstacles which existed to reconciliation. On the part of God, he has made it consistent for him to pardon. He has made an atonement so that God can be just while he justifies the sinner.
People have a hard time understanding how God, who hates sin, who had to turn his back on his own son, his only begotten son, when he became sin for us, because he can't even look on sin, and yet he justifies the sinner. I like the fact that, as the Bible tells us, that when God the Father looks upon me, he sees me through the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees me washed in the blood of the Lamb.
He has made an atonement so that God can be just while he justifies the sinner. He has maintained his truth and justice and secured the stability of his moral government while he admits offenders to his favor. And on the part of man, he, by the agency of his Spirit, overcomes the unwillingness of the sinner to be reconciled, humbles his pride, shows him his sin, changes his heart, subdues his enmity against God, and secures, in fact, a harmony of feeling and purpose between God and man so that they shall be reconciled forever. Jesus did all this. And when you look at these things that Jesus has done, and you think, wow, he must really love me. You know, we can say, God loves me. We just throw that around like it's nothing, right? No, God loves you. Regardless of who you are. Regardless of what you've done. He loves you so much. He was willing to come and be that mediator between God the Father and us.
Again, as I've mentioned many times before, you know, if I was God, I'd probably said, you know, they're just not worth it.
I mean, have you ever gone through a day and just said, you know, if I was God, I'd just take those people out right now? I mean, they're just annoying me to no end. It's time they just be annihilated, right? And yet God says, I love them. And we look at what we are, right? And we think, man, how could God love this? But he does. And then he asks us to love one another. And we go, oh, do we really have to do that part? And he says, yes. He says, yes, not only do you need to love me, you need to love one another. Okay, well, God, the first part of that we might be able to work out. We can negotiate that, right? No, he says, no, it's not up for negotiation. He says, I loved you so much, and all I ask in return that you just obey my word.
Wow.
God was willing to do so much on our behalf, and then we want to negotiate the terms, right? God, I'd like to do this and this, but this list over here, way too long, needs to go. He says, oh, good, I'll shorten that for you. I'll make the list two, right? In the New Testament, he says, love the Father, love your neighbor as yourself. On those two, hang all the law and the prophets, right? All of that is done. We go, well, still don't like that list. It's a little too long, don't you think? No, he says, I'm trying to make it easy on you. We say, but it's not easy. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's not easy being a Christian. But it's worth it. But it's worth it. God has now given us the ministry of reconciling others to God through Jesus Christ. Look at our text, verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. The last part of it, it says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And hath given to us. He's talking about the apostles and our fellow laborers, right? To us. He's given to us this ministry of reconciliation. We are to go out and share the gospel with others so that they too can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The ministry of reconciliation, that is, of announcing to men the nature and the condition of this plan of being reconciled. A lot of people don't want to hear it, right? Go out and tell them, the best news that you could ever have, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus died to save you from your sin. All you have to do is realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and cry out to Him to forgive you of your sin and become Lord and Master of your life. Pretty simple. And they'll say, I'm not interested. And we think, because we have the ministry of reconciliation given to us by Jesus, that we need to go out and save people. I'm going to tell you, you didn't save yourself. You couldn't save yourself. You're not going to save anyone. You might lead them to the Savior, which is what this ministry is all about, leading people to the Savior. We have been appointed to make this known and to press its acceptance on men. Now, when I say that, share it, give them the information, right? Don't hold a 357 to their head and say, you will accept or I will blow your head off, right? That's not what he's saying. Did Jesus ever force anyone to get saved? He offered it to them. And then let them make their choice. We have this idea that God needs us to save people. No. God wants us to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation by warning people of impending danger. It's pretty simple, right? The way I look at it is, say somebody's out, you're out on a boat, right? Somebody's in the water, and they're bobbing up and down, and they're not going to survive if somebody doesn't do something. Do you just say, hey, a life ring would help you out a lot? Or do you send them the life ring to help them out? Some people sit there and say, well, it depends on if I like them or not. God didn't say, be in the ministry of reconciliation to those that you like. He said, to everyone, right? And then through Christ, God has reconciled a world full of sinners unto Himself. Reconciliation is possible because due to Christ's work on the cross, God is not imputing their trespasses unto them. We are guilty of sinning against God. And yet he says, accept the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord, his only begotten Son. That's all you got to do. And I will not impute your sin on you. Because see, when Jesus hung on the cross, he hung on the cross for the sins of all mankind for all time. I like to see it this way. When I got saved, all my sins were future from when Christ died. Anybody have any sins that happened prior to Christ's death on the cross? I'd have to say you're looking pretty good for being as old as you are if you told me yes. When Christ died on the cross and became sin for all of mankind, took on the sins of all mankind, that covered all our sins. Because, no, it couldn't have, because I hadn't sinned yet. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, as he looked back over eternity past through eternity future, he said, it is finished. There's nothing else to do. It's done. Praise the Lord that our sins are forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did as the mediator between God and man. Let's pray.